She respected women early. She respected women early. 603.
Rabbi Motti, Posen.
Okay, in a week today, we'll know it's the 15th of Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, Chamish Ozu B'Shvat. Now, there's lots to talk about it. In the evening, we've got to share about it as well, don't worry. There's lots to say. And we're not going to discuss Kedima Brachas, because I'm sure everyone's ready. God, I'm coming out of the ears by now. Every year, people like to talk about Kedima Brachas. There's many other things you could discuss. When it comes to these fruity topics, again, it's a fruit and Tu B'Shvat, many exciting things to discuss. We all know that Mangaron brings down the minigs to eat fruit on Tu B'Shvat because it's called Rosh Hashanah Leilonos. Why is it called Rosh Hashanah Leilonos? And what Rosh Hashanah is, now you'll have to wait for Wednesday night, end of the day of the Torah, you'll get to hear why is Rosh Hashanah Leilonos and how that works and what's the Rosh Hashanah bit to Tu B'Shvat. But either way, we know there's a minute to eat fruit. People get very excited about this minute, of course, and carried away. People want to know, you know, how many fruits do you have to have? People have 15. All sorts of exciting remozim. The Maaseh says no chiv to have fruit. Bechlal, it's a minute, and there's no reason to have any amount of fruit, Dafka. It's all nice and none, but there's no... You know, if you didn't have, someone wants to know, if you had the orange and the tangerine, does that count as one? Does he have to have tashlumin to make up the next day, another 15, as a knas? He's not sure how many he has, he's a Sofik Darais al-Khumra. So, all these things are nice ideas. We said once here that Rabbi Lashiv used to always be Mekbid. Rabbi used to have, every day after lunch, used to have a fruit. And on Tu B'Shvat, he told his wife, whatever fruit you give me, bring me two. He said, he had two apples. Because the Magaram says, Marab Epirus. He had one, he had two. He had a tangerine, he had two tangerines. He's Marab Epirus. But this, Mr. Darais al-Khif Skila, now having 15 fruits. Very important, but as a famous Bnei Soscha who brings down on Tu B'Shvat, there's a skula to daven for an Esrog. Even though we're holding 8, or this year 9 months before Sukkos, the last thing on your mind is you have a minimum of the Sukkah. But it comes to it, you don't want to be stuck, you book early, save disappointment. So you want to cash in now and daven for your Esrog, save yourself the running around and the money, whatever it is. The first Esrog you get will be the most beautiful kosher Esrog. You won't have a problem. So you daven on Tu B'Shvat for a nice esrog, and hopefully we'll be zeichet a nice esrog. It's not a guarantee, you know. You have to still. You know, shach to Tu B'Shvat. Someone was just telling me, came to me last week, a younger man, and he told me he doesn't understand the whole business of davening. You know, we're talking about davening for an esrog. He said he davens for things. Crazy, this person's going through quite a difficult time at the moment. And he told me he's davening for help and to sort out a situation, and nothing's happened. So he doesn't know why he's davening. I said, don't tell me that I only have my whole life, my wife, house, kids, car, job, because I daven, because goyim also have all that. So he says, what am I davening for? What do I have over a goy? Wow, the whole davening thing doesn't seem to work. So really, there's two answers to this question. What are we davening for? The first thing to know is, you can have a person, comes home every day, nice steaming supper on the table, goes upstairs, his bed's made, his clothes set out, all washed and clean. And he never meets his wife, he doesn't know who she is, she just works in the back. She's the maid, he's never met her, doesn't know what she looks like. But the house is kept beautiful, and he's very excited. You have someone else who has exactly the same situation, just he knows it's his wife who does it all. And every time he sees something, the supper, the washing, he says thank you, he appreciates it. They both may have the same life, but one has a relationship, one doesn't. So even if you would be right that davening doesn't help, that's not so much the point. The point is that through davening, even though a goy may have the same, but through appreciating what you've got and asking for more, that builds a relationship, and ultimately the relationship with Hashem is what we're trying to get. So even if it'd be right that davening doesn't achieve anything, that's irrelevant. The main point is that through davening, you get to thank and ask, even though you will get it anyway. But through that, you'll gain a relationship and a closeness to Hashem. So even if he doesn't bring in more, he'll still gain the relationship. Lamai said, anyway, he's wrong, because we know many times a person downs for something in life. Now, there are times you don't get it. A person can down for all sorts of exciting things. It may not be the best thing for you. My son had a birthday last week. He told me once, a new Bentley Continental GT 68 plate. Now, I didn't buy him one, because there's a few reasons why. First, he doesn't have a license. But you may give him something which is very exciting, but it wouldn't help you very much. In fact, it may damage him. He'll get into his car, put it straight up to 0 to 60 in the first 2 seconds, and off he goes, and who knows what may happen. There are many times we daven for things, and it won't necessarily be the best thing for you. So there are times you won't be zeichah to get it. But there are many times you daven for things, and you see through mamash api derech, kamal bi derech hanes, it comes to you. So then he was having a baby, and he wanted a new buggy, and he couldn't afford it, and he davened for it, and it fell into his lap in a strange way that he couldn't imagine. So to say that davening doesn't help, for sure it's not going to come. You know, you open your front door, and you'll find a freshly wrapped new whatever you've been davening for, and they're sitting there, and says, you know, with love from God, made in heaven. That you won't find, because nothing works at such an open place nowadays. But for sure, we all know in our own lives how davening for things we've seen in a strange way, not be derech hateva, in an out of the norm way. The Yeshua, how it came. I myself, the big things we know Chazal say is a wife, house, and job. Arabarim yom kodim siyas avilad. 40 years before you're born, Yad Zavaskal says who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, and sort of plainly your field, which is your job. And these things, you mamish see many, much said shmaya by it. I remember myself, when I bought my house, I went through, I actually wrote down about 15 posha openness that happened. That it was just in such a strange way. And same with Shidduchim, everyone knows. And when Shidduch got suggested, the person said that she met my wife in a certain place. My wife said she'd never been there, never been in her life. So what happened, I don't know, but this person seemed to have met her in this place, and with that she suggested the Shidduch, and with the house as well. And the mortgage broker told me he needs a bank statement. One day he came to me, I need a bank statement today for proof of funds. And I told him that I'm meant to get my bank statement in 5 days, and I've got no way to get it today. It always comes on the 16th. This was the 9th. So I need one today. I said, I can try and get one. I called up the bank. It was closing time. I tried to go online. Came home, and there was an envelope sitting there on my doormat with the bank statement. It came that month. It came on the 9th. It came again on the 16th, 6 days later. But it came on the 9th. It was never come before, never came afterwards. It was always the 16th was the day of the bank statement. That month, it came on the 9th. Push it. You see, you're down for something. Tack it comes. So, back to our Esrog, you're down for your Esrog, maybe you will, maybe you won't, but you see the idea of tefillah, to think that you never get what you want when you daven is obviously not true, but there's two nukuds. Number one is the relationship, and number two is you do see many times in an extraordinary way that you tack it get what you daven for. So that's the Indian of tefillah, davening for your Esrog on next Monday. Not to forget, if it's Shabbos, you've got the whole shayla if you daven on Shabbos, if it's a davar ruchni, so you're allowed to have Esrog on Shabbos, but this year Tubishra doesn't fall out on Shabbos, so you don't have that problem at all. We eat fruits on Tubishra, people at the minute eat fruits on Tubishra. There's many things you can gain by eating fruit. People base it, the Pnei Moshe, have to base it on the Gemara in Yerushalmi, the end of Kedushin. The Gemara there says that Osid Adam Litanis Adin, this is going to give them for Cheshbon on anything he saw in this world, which was mutter to enjoy, and he didn't enjoy. He should have enjoyed, Hashem put it there to enjoy. You should partake in whatever you see, whatever's mutter. Promise Mitzrayim asks that there is a musuk of precious, keeping away from too much. Olim has a not to indulge too much. So how do these two things work together? It seems like a little bit of a paradox here. On one hand, we know the Gemara in Kedushin, Yerushalmi says, you should take and enjoy it. And Mitzrayim says, you're meant to keep away. So Mitzrayim explains that anything which you need for your comfort, for your menuchas ha-nefesh, to carry on in life, and without it, you wouldn't be as comfortable in order to carry on, you avoid Hashem. Then he says there's a chiv to do it. You must use this thing that Rebbeinu Shem gave you to have a menuchas ha-nefesh and carry on in life. Things which are extra, which you don't need, that you shouldn't partake in, precious, you should keep away from. And that's the solution, that's the key to how you put these two things together. Something you need, you should partake in. Something you don't need, you shouldn't. That's why the Gemara says, "Asa lidin din v'cheshbon." If you don't have it, you'll have a din v'cheshbon. Why didn't you, Rebbeinu Shem says, I created it to be enjoyed, you didn't enjoy it, asa lidin din v'cheshbon. Now, when you give them a cheshbon, you can say, I didn't enjoy that food, I didn't use that food because I wanted to work on my precious, I don't want to have so much oil mazah. It's also a din v'cheshbon. Doesn't mean you have to enjoy it, it means you have to explain why. As long as there's a cheshbon why, then you're okay. So when you do enjoy your fruit, it's all there to appreciate what the Rebbeinu Shem made and to enjoy. Someone with a level of pruta, we said about Rabbi Yashi, used to only have a double fruit, whatever he had, that's because he was on the madriga to take a knot. partake Tumshah Elmazah, and he had to do Vacheshbon to it. Part of enjoying the fruit, of course, is to see the Flores Aboya. As Rav Victor Meli used to always say, you don't need any Musa Sfarav, you don't need to convince anyone, as we bring Shalem, all you have to do is look at an apple, take an apple, take an orange, you look at it and you see, he explains, he says, imagine eating on an apple, you bite on something hard, you open it up and inside it's a silver dollar, or for us a pound coin. You'd say, it's unbelievable, a pound coin stuck in the apple. He says, every time you bite into something hard on an apple, you hit a seed is far more remarkable than finding a pound coin in your apple. In this little tiny seed, a few millimeters, it's got in it all the information, all the DNA, everything you would need to create an entire tree. Put this little seed in the ground. Outgrows an entire tree, a big wooden tree. You look in the ground, you won't see any wood there. This tree goes in, it rots. And through that, it tells the ground to produce the tree. And then the tree has many, many apples. And each apple has again its own seeds, the reproduction. Every apple has in it all the nutrients, the vitamins that apple has to offer. Has its own reproduction system. It's unbelievable how it works. An orange, we know, has got little bags of liquid inside each segment of the orange, and that's why it's got a little bit of a thicker shell for the insulation in case it drops, shouldn't go squash. An apple's a little bit harder, it doesn't need that. There's many things to realize, and if Lois Abori, and he understands how the Brinjan made all this with so much chokhmah design, the apple goes in the ground, and out comes an apple tree. No apple seed has ever done a gender change and come out as an orange. An apple's an apple, an orange, and everyone, this little seed goes into the ground and now grows a whole tree with many hundreds of apples and gone for thousands of years, this tree. So much of Lois Aboya, all you have to do is look at apple and you appreciate there's so much chokhmah design behind even the smallest of fruits. As we now Ofsted want, that we should teach in schools, evolution, I think it's the best thing that can ever happen to us. He explained all this to a child, he put the apple on the table, all the chokhmah design went into this apple. So there's two options. Either it was designed an apple should grow on purely from sunlight, water grows out of the earth from nothing, and all the design that goes into it and how the seed grows and rots and becomes a new apple tree. So there's two options. Either someone created that, or there was a big bang and this all popped out of nowhere. You present that to any normal person, you'll obviously see the design and all the intellect that went into creating each thing. I think it's the best proof we'll ever get. If I get, I'll start teaching them a Muna, they'll understand. Obviously, this didn't come from nowhere. The apple tree, the orange, you go to any fruit, the brilliance, how it's made, how it's created. An apple doesn't rot on the tree. An apple only rots once it falls down. You shouldn't have a pile of apples under the tree. So then it starts rotting. On the tree, it won't rot. And on the tree, it won't be a bright red straight away. First, it's a color that makes it unappetizing. You won't come to eat it. And as it's ready, it starts developing, creates its own packaging to tell you, now I'm ready to be eaten. All this didn't just happen with one big bang, obviously. All this was designed, it was thought about, it was intellect, it went into every little part. And part of Tu B'Shvat, I've had when eating your fruit, you could appreciate all the niflois aboyah that went into every single fruit. Now, of course, one of the more important things about eating fruit is you have to remember about Teloim. Many things have little insects and worms and all sorts of exciting monsters inside. Now, if a person would have a pork sandwich, you'd go over one lab of eating. Chaz is also one lab. If you eat little sherets, you've got four, five, maybe more. I was actually looking last week at a leek, and I said, come on, what could be wrong with the leek? And I washed it off, and I said, look, it's fine, I showed it to my wife, and she looks, and she showed me a little black monster sitting on the leek, even after I'd washed it off. I washed it without soap, just with plain water. You got to be careful, even something as innocent as a leek, you never know what you may find on it. You must wash and check everything properly. You have to realize that there's many times you could be entering a big problem here with Talon. Now, how to work with Talon? What do you have to check? Do you have to check your apples? Do you have to check your nuts? Do you have to check your figs and pomegranates? What do you have to check? So the clause we know by every issa, b'chol adar kula, applies to meat, it applies to fruit, it applies to sha'anas, it applies to everything. Anything which is a roiv, then for sure you have to check. That means if you know a roiv of these fruit are infested, for sure you have to check it, that there's no way out. Then you come to a miut. What happens if it's less than 50%? It's called a miut. It's not a roiv, it's less than roiv, it's 49 and down. Then what's the halacha then? So then we split it up. There's something called miyat hamotzi. Miyat hamotzi means it's less than 50%, but it's motzi, it's very, very common. Many fruits fall into this category. It's a miyat, it's not so hot. It's definitely not roiv of them. It's not, it's about 49 and down, but it's very, very common. Such a thing called miyat hamotzi. Miyat hamotzi is a chiv to check. Again, whether it applies to fruit being infested, whether it applies to looking for shatness and begodim, whether it applies to looking for treifas and meat. Mia Motze. Man is going to call Mia Shane Motze. Mia Shane Motze is less than 50%, of course. And Eine Motze, it's not common to find a problem with this thing. The Marshall, an apple, precious Mia Shane Motze. Very, very rare to find anything in an apple. Not that you can't, you can find. It's very rare. That means if you would cut an apple open and find something inside, it would be surprising. And an apple wouldn't be a chiv b'dik, no chiv to check an apple, because Mia Shane Motze. You open a regular lettuce, whether it's iceberg or Romanian, any type of lettuce, it's definitely not Mishin Motze. Because you find something in the lettuce, you say, hey, this lettuce is infested. And lettuce is often to find infestation. Therefore, that's going to be Mishin Motze, Mishin Motze. So everything falls in this category. We all know they have to check nuts. So I think it's quite rare to find, even in cashews, you will find them all, but it's very rare. Perhaps the Mishin Motze, you run into other shadows, the toilet on the batch, toilet on the country it came from, toilet on all this type of fruit in the whole world. But something which you're confident that is very rare to find something in, it's got the Mishin Motze. To Mishanas, you know, the same type of beged, very, very rare to find Shanas in. That, there would be no Chiv B'dik on such a beged, the Mishin Motze. You buy a cheap suit, you buy a suit of Marks Spencer, under £100, I'm sure if it's polyester, there's obviously been a Chiv B'dik then, because the Mishin Motze, it's very, very rare, not even rare, it's less than rare, to ever find anything such a suit. Something that's a more expensive suit, it's got a proper design, or it's a wool blend, that could be a Mishin Motze, depending on the materials. Same with the cow, we check the cow, what do? We don't check everything, there's loads of trefus. If we check a whole cow, it takes forever. We rely on Mishin Motze, saying it's very rare to find a problem with that part of the animal, we don't even check. If you check and you find, for sure it's going to be a trefus. But we don't check, we rely on Mishin Motze. So we know what we rely on, what we don't. Someone was telling me, he was discussing with certain Rav and Eretzrol about an Erev. And the Rav was saying that this Erev he was discussing, it wasn't so good, there's many shadows involved. So the person said that, you know, he said, what's the exact problem? So Rav said, I'll give you a marshal. Imagine I give you a piece of meat. And all this piece of meat had 300 shilas on the piece of meat. 300 shilas. The man, we sat down, we worked through each one, and we decided each one of these shilas is mutter. So you'll still be nervous. There's 300 problems, yeah? They're all okay. So I sent this over to someone in town. He said, that's taka. Every piece of meat is taka, say. Every piece of meat is taka about 300 shilas. But many of them are relying on Rav, because the mishin mutter. That's how it works, we rely on the Mishin Motze. So something which is very rare is okay, something which is more common, so again, to checking for infestation, you have to know if a sort of fruit is usually infested, you have to check it. Something that's very rare, you will have, and then there's obviously going to be the grey area, but that's the klal of Mishin Motze. Applies to shanas, applies to meat, applies to many, many things we have, always the Mishin Motze is going to be okay. You've got to watch out, produce from Israel. I remember this guy in the shop telling me, though, he said to me, why do all Jews try and boycott Israel? They're not buying Israeli products. So it's like a good idea to avoid them because you run into many shadows, unless you know exactly what you're doing. I was actually talking to someone, another Yid, and he said to me, if I get you Defqa buys it, he takes trumas, takes measures, he watches out for Orla, he said, you help the economy, why not? Which is true if you know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, then don't, because you run into shilas, trumas, mass, and Orla, which again, Tushra is actually the Rosh Hashanah for these things. So if you have ever tarted Sastri on the Rosh Hashanah Leilonis, you take a eat Rumas Maestras, you don't do Rumas Maestras, eat Orla, which is the Rosh Hashanah for that. So you want to watch out, at least don't get it wrong on Dubishvat. But if you see products of Israel, if you're not sure what you're doing, then you should avoid it. If you know what you're doing, then no problem. But you've got to watch out, not to have any shadows of those, of Rumas Maestras and Orla. Then you come to Shadow Shechianu. Shechianu is very rare to make Shechianu on fruit nowadays because most things are available the whole time. You run into the Shadow, it's not available in most shops, it's available in specialist shops. Is that called available or not? But most standard fruits, you go to the regular shops, no matter these crazy hedgehog-looking things. I'm not sure why you'd make hot eats on that. Anyway, but if you buy the regular fruit, which don't look too strange, even you go to pomegranates and things like that, pomegranates are available the whole year, many shops, and therefore you should be aware that Shechianu is not always so partial. You must watch out when you do or don't say Shechianu. Like with anything we know, if any food is wet, there's a dinner till it's a dime, you should wash your hands. Without a bracha, of course, you wash it as a dime. Therefore, if you have fruit, if you wash it, people want to wash their apples and their plums and these things, and they eat them with a peel. If they're wet, you should wash it as a dime for it. It's not only this, it applies to any food, really. You have biscuits, people dip in their coffee, and you have wet anything, you'd have to wash it to a dime. Unless all food you eat with a knife and fork. If you pull a carrot out of your soup, then not, because it's directly eat it with a spoon, by most civilized people. But something which is directly with your hand, like an apple, it'd be a dim to a dime. Then you come to the Shaila, people want to have fruit in the meal, they've eaten, they've washed, they've had the meal. Shabbos is even morning again, when Tu B'Shvat's on Shabbos. They want to have fruit at the end of the meal. Now we know fruit, the Gemara tells us, is not derech l'svoy alav, which means you don't eat it as the main part of your meal. A big misconception when it comes to desserts and ice creams. People think that if you always have it, you don't make a bracha on it. Now that's not necessarily true. The Gemara says, anything which is not eaten is ikka soda. I mean, you have every single meal, three meals a day, you've never missed ice cream in your life, you're very religious about it, but it's not eaten, you don't need ice cream to fill you up. You eat ice cream l'kinuach at the end of the meal. Something which is eaten l'kinuach is relevant how often what you do with it. It's eaten l'kinuach, it's not derech l'svoy, it's eaten to fill you up. Such a thing requires a bracha in a meal. Why don't, it's really start earlier, why don't you make a bracha on your chicken? Because chicken is your meal, just like bread fills you up, chicken fills you up. Rashi writes the whole, you do make a bracha, but make a weepest like this is, that you don't make a bracha on these things in your meal. Potatoes, rice, all these things you put on the meal to fill you up, soup, fish. Something eaten purely as dessert, it's not to fill you up, you're full all the way up. The Gemara says, even if you're full, you can keep eating it, something sweet. Out comes the ice cream, eat as much as you like of it, but it's not eaten to fill you up. That would always require a bracha in a meal. There were gedolim who were no different, but the pashtas, the Gemara Shulchan Aruch is definitely to make a bracha. Comes to fruit, same thing. Tea and coffee is also a shayla. Normally, it was just right. So tea and coffee as well. Seeing, even though you have it the whole time, but seeing as it's eaten, as kinuach, it's not eaten to fill you up, you should require a bracha. Pouring tea and coffee is a little bit different because the Gemara says ein achila b'leishtia. You can't eat and eat without a drink. You're always going to need a drink. So some say that is included in this head of ein achila b'leishtia. Just like you don't make a bracha on your Coca-Cola in the middle of the meal, so it's not a tea and coffee at the end. Now this is not 100% the Mishmur grad the whole, you do make a bracha on tea and coffee and whiskey, people have l'chaim in the middle of the meal, you grad the whole, you do. People don't because you say nechil v'nishtia, there's different sveikas here, some brachas l'akel. But if you can avoid it, as we spoke about it once in the evening, the best is bringing a bowl of jellies, chocolates, whatever it is, make shakel on that, you avoid the whole shalom. But to bring these things in the meal without a bracha, you do have a little bit of esophag here. But ice cream, you can't say nechil v'nishtia on ice cream. Ice cream is not a drink, you know, people want to say if it defrosts. Ve'ika, ice cream for sure, fruit is not a drink. That will require a bracha in the middle of the meal. If it's jam on your bread or you're having fruit, people put in the salad nuts. Those things not, because that's part of the ikka meal. It's tofel to the salad or the jam on your bread, even though it's fruit based. But fruit is eaten as part of the meal. You can put oranges in your chicken, all sorts of exciting things. That's eaten as part of the meal, for sure, no bracha. If you have at the end of the meal as kinuach, just as dessert, you would have fruit, it would require a bracha. I was at someone's house actually, and he served at the end of the meal a fruit salad, and he had nuts and a whole exciting fruit salad, and I was about to make a bracha, and he told me every single fruit in the salad we had during the meal. The nuts was in the salad, and the apricot was in the fish, and the orange was in the chicken. He said, so why are you making a bracha now? You've had every single fruit from this throughout every course, and now you're making a bracha. But it's a simple answer. All the other fruit were toffled to the chicken and the fish and the salad and everything else you had. That didn't require a bracha. Comes to the end, you have a fruit salad, kinuach, dessert, you make a bracha. So, if it comes to Mishra and you're having your fruit, the only problem is that if you want to follow, if you're having just or eights, and you follow the way the Mishra tells us, you start with the Shiva Zaminim, and the first of the Shiva Zaminim is the olive. So, olive is a little bit tricky because in a meal, we look at olive as a vegetable, eat it as something you have in your meal with your bread. You wouldn't make a bracha on cucumbers or tomatoes, you make a bracha on an olive. So, if you want to start with an olive, you do have a sock, you make eights on an olive. So, if you are having a meal, then you should avoid the olive, go to the date, which is the next one, and make your eats on the date, because that's for sure sweet fruit. And olive is a little bit of a sophic, because parsha's got in a vegetable, we treat it as that, and we would eat it in a meal as ikka of the soda, and therefore, you couldn't make a mate or eat on a olive. Right, you wouldn't eat it as kinuach.
Sorry?
Right, so you wouldn't eat it as kinuach, so you couldn't make eats on it. Even though the first to make eats on it is Shiva Zaminim, the first Shiva Zaminim is the olive, but in a meal you'd be stuck to make eats on it. So in the middle of a meal, then just make eats on the date. Don't make eats on the, you can eat the olive. Don't make eats on it, because perhaps you wouldn't make eats on an olive in the middle of the meal. So even so, if you have a cucumber at the end of the meal, the white is part of the, you can't call it kinuach. It's not dessert.
If it comes as a fruit salad, it comes as a fruit platter.
It's a little bit tricky, because the item's a vegetable. You have a nice fruit platter, on it is a tomato. I treat this as a fruit, okay, but still it's not eating the kinuach. It's not something you bring as dessert. So it's a little bit tricky. The best would be before you wash, make eats on your olive. And you got no suffolk at all. You can say it's sir, because anyway you need to eat, because you want to have your fruit. So it's not a brach shin tzricha. You meant to eat less than a gazayas. If an olive is a gazayas, right? Olive is a gazayas, olive. So you have half the olive, don't have the whole one, you have a problem of paranefoshes on this olive before the meal. This was a big problem. People don't realize. Big Zofik. If you make a brocha, someone asked me last week, they came home, there was soup, and they made charcoal, they ate the soup, and then out came the oven, fresh pizza. So he wanted to wash his pizza. Now, so he washed. He forgot to make barnafoshes, and he washed. What do you do with the soup now? Where's the barnafoshes on the soup? These are big shilas. He gets worse by mazonos. Many times you go to a kiddush, you go to a bris, and when they do the bris in the hall where they have the suda, people come there, they eat the cake, and then they wash. Now, I'm salamichi. On one hand, we know cake is not enough bread. So you can't make alamichi, you have to wash. The worst is the people that forget to alamichi, and then they wash. If you make alamichi, you've got to sign make hafsid. But if you don't do that, anytime you eat something before meal, you have big, big problems. You must always. Okay, so you can say the guy who thought he's not going to the suda, he didn't have time, then you realize, oh, he's going to go stay and wash. Now, what do you do with alamichi? You have many, many shadows in these things, and very big sfakas. Therefore, if you do eat before you wash, always watch out what you're doing. Bench, make a break, go out, come back in. If you go, sorry. It's a big problem. The Bialach is a long Bialach, but he says, behind me saying Alamichia, but Rosh Hashanah is really about to eat bread. And Pashas cake has got in a bread. So there's Zom will patch for it. So the best way to make Alamichia, go outside, go upstairs, go learn, come back, phone call 10 minutes, and then wash. You made the break. If you don't do that, you have big sfakas here, what you do. So back to the olive, you want to make a eight for the meal, it's got to be half a olive, because it's and like you should avoid these situations, because you're running into sfeikas of Rosh Hashanah. It's less than an olive, you're fine.
Cake.
Right, fruit for hors d'oeuvre. Most poskim hold you would make a eight on hors d'oeuvre if it serves as a fruit salad at the beginning of the meal, even though people find it very strange. But that's the psak of Rashi, Ramosh, Ramzam, Ramosh, Temchaz, the truth about it. All the poskim say that a fruit salad, even at the beginning of the meal, would for sure require a bracha for eight. Even though you're having it for hors d'oeuvre, it's not really hors d'oeuvre, it's those guys that are too cheap to serve salmon. So if salmon are serving the fruit, that really, fruit is meant to be kinuach, it's not. So Rashi says if it's sour fruit, like if it's a grapefruit, and it's Mamshachatav, Zachil, it gives you a chishit to eat, which is hard to work out exactly, then he says you would bake a eight. Then, if it's Adoma, save it with Adoma. If it's a fruit salad, you have a pineapple, same thing. If it manages your type as a chila, then you wouldn't make a bracha, it's part of the suda. But usually that's not the case, and you're required to make a bracha. The best would be, again, avoid the shayla, make the bracha beforehand, before the meal, have a very, very small amount, there's no sort of bracha chorena, then you go straight into the meal. You don't see people doing it, Lamaita. You see by the people that, the people that know, you see, some people forget, dafka don't, people dafka do. Lamaita, most places can write, you should. And the best way to avoid it, make oats before, Adam before. But if not, you'd make oats in the meal. Again, fruit. You have to understand what's done from the Gemara says fruit is not a meal. Now, to say the Gemara changed, that's bordering on all sorts of exciting things we won't mention. So, the Gemara tells you fruit is not part of the meal. So, you know, our fruit is. Okay, why? So, you say, if it's going to have a zachila, like the Gemara says, all fruit is going to have a zachila, gives you a cheshit karen eating. Because you're full, you have some fruit, you can carry on. Fine, that then it would be part of the meal. But if it's not there for that, it's there just to, I don't know what. Like I said, they couldn't afford the salmon, so then that wouldn't be a heta. You've got to. It's foreign. Fruit is foreign to a meal. It's like ice cream. So give it a couple of years, they'll start serving ice cream for hors d'oeuvre. Ice cream is not hors d'oeuvre, it doesn't fill you up, it's just not hors d'oeuvre.
Sorbet
as well. If it's a sort of thing, it's going. So a fruit soup, that you can say, it's like a part of the meal, it's eating the kinuach, leave you a lot of it. It's, maybe it's different. But a regular hors d'oeuvre, fruit hors d'oeuvre, it's very rare to say that that's part of the meal. Pasha has got in kinuach, I feel eating at the beginning, it's no malamoyed. It's got din, something foreign to a meal, and require a bracha.
I don't understand the logic, because you're having a fruit soup, for example. You're having a fruit soup because you're not going to have the vegetable soup. Your wife would make vegetable soup, but it's a nice day, so we'll have fruit soup.
Oh, so if you decide to be different, that means you have fruit as a meal. You can't change that. Since Chazal said, tell us, the fruit's not part of the meal, that can't change. Chazal said, if you have a meal, just the fruit, and as you wash, and on your bread you put an apple, have another slice of bread, put on it your plums, and that is your whole meal, there is nothing else to eat, that's different, because you've shown, I've made my meal out of fruit. If your meal is chicken, and fish, and soup, and all sorts of exciting things, and now you're having fruit, that's for sure no shaykh to the meal. So fruit soup is a little bit different, because that's taka. Instead of my fruit, I'm having this. So we'll do it, you can say as well, so that's my salmon, I'm having fruit. So that's a little bit different because it's a very small amount, it's not ikasuda, it's not there to fill you up really. It's a small amount they give you just because they don't have anything else to give you. If it's a big amount and that's filling you up, 30% of your meal is that, then you can say it's different. But usually that's not the case.
Instead of you having a nice starter, which might be chocolate, or egg, or whatever it might be, you might be
So if that's mamish a big part of your meal, you're having Shabbos morning, you're having your fruit, and your challah, and that's it, then there's more time to say it's part of your meal. But if you know they're having a proper meal, and just for a day, they put a cup of punch or something like that, that's for sure no shaykhs to the meal. Again, it's not unanimous if you see someone doing fakir, the ashes hold azoi, but the ikah of the poskim can say it's no shaykhs to the meal, and we require a brach even as a full div.
The kitchen says a hot soup of cold soup, one's a fruit soup, one's a
dip. Right, so then you got a svara again. If you're serving it as your soup, you're not getting another soup, and you're only having three courses, and that's a bigger, it's part of a bowl filled to the top of soup, then you got a svara, that's ikah suda. So fruit soup of poskim can say that there's much more sad not to make a bracha. But a div, especially if it's a smaller div, and I'm only they give a fruit div, and then they bring in a something else, like a different type of whole div, then that's for sure going to be, then kinuach would require a bracha. Again, the best is to have a little bit before you wash, make it eight, less than a kazayas, very small amount. The ikashir kazayas we know is as manenu, the size of an olive, as we know it today, which is about a teaspoon, that's the ikashir kazayas, and then when you have less than that, make it eight. Then you can go and wash, no problem at all. You avoid the whole suffix. You're good to go. But if you've washed, you come in, see this fruit thing. As by a meal, there's a whole lot of rabbanim sitting around, and not one of them touched it. So I was like, okay, you're all allergic to fruit. And look, they all said they've got what they're going to do. They didn't want to make a bracha. They were a bit nervous, so they just didn't touch it. If you're going to eat it, you make oats. That's the bashtas. No problem at all. There's this famous story they bring down that the Chofetz Chaim B'Sof Yomov didn't make a bracha on fruit. It was Chayza. Now that's very strange to say because he wrote six volumes of Mishnah Berurah and it was his lifelong job. And he was Chayza and he didn't tell anyone. It was a little bit interesting. But yeah, he was Chayza. It was Chayza. There were things he wrote later. He was Chayza.
If there's many about Olam to eat that, not to eat for a million later, it is the many about Olam to eat.
So it's not toilet minig oilam. It's toilet on the fact that fruit is not eaten as a meal. If it's minig oilam to have dessert, it won't change. If it's minig oilam to have a meal of fruit, and his main course is fruit, if that would ever come to that, it'd be very sad for us men, you skip your chicken and your meat, you just have fruit, then, that would be your ikka meal. But if that's not the case, or urias would be ikka meal, I sit down to bread and fruit, that's all I have, or bread and jam, which is technically fruit, then that's different. But if you're eating a proper meal, as I'm saying, when you've got full fruit soup, or a big fruit hors d'oeuvre, then that is your meal. Hors d'oeuvre is a big part of it, unless it's a very small one. Then that's different. If it's a small hors d'oeuvre or dessert, at the end it's just the kinuach, then there's no shaykh to the soda. You can't say the fruit became ikka soda now. We know with all food, when you make a bracha, you see very common people do this wrong. The Shulchan Aruch tells us you hold fruit in your right hand. I'll never forget this. I had a teacher one day that popped open a can of Coke. He made jahakol, and then he said, 50 pounds to anyone who tells me what was wrong with my bracha. And everyone started guessing. I guess 50 pounds. And no one got it. He said, I held the can in my left hand. We were sitting opposite him, so looked at the right. But I guess no one knew. Anyway, you hold food in your right hand. It's very interesting. I'm only even by sometimes people who you don't expect it, you see a lot of times you see videos of people making brachas. I always like to watch. And the guy picks it up, which hand to pick up in. It's the basics. Everything's in the right. Oh, it won't make a difference. There are times it makes a difference, other times it doesn't. When it's chashivas to something, right is always mochashuv. When it's toila on what you feel, what your shaykhs is to the thing, then it's toila on your left and right. No, right is more choshev be'etzem. When it's toiling your strong hand or more cheshek, then it's the left hand. Yeah, that's by things which are toiler and the shaykh is between you and the mitzvah. Like a lulav is a sofik, and mechavah says, the point is to say do both, because that's the shaykh and you chavivas. Here's the din, the chashivas of the bracha. By a bracha you hold it in the right, even with your weaker hand. That's also a bit of a sofik. It's a sefer they've got, Abraham Geski, other people brought svarim, all about lefties. Those of us, like me, who was zeichet to be a lefty, there's many, many sfeikas. Tefillin's a big sofik. Many people put on both hands. Arba minim do both hands. Many, many sfeikas. But there are things we're telling chashivas. I think by a koist, they all bring down. It's the right hand. Because there is again, it's chashivas the bracha. Chashivas is right, whether you're a lefty or not. Things we're telling you, cheshek, and you want to show that you're grabbing with your stronger hand, that's in the left. If you do have a son who's a lefty, very important to check up the exact halachas. The most important, of course, is tefillin, which is daraisa. Arba minim is on both. Tefillin, you're not yitz on both. You know, it's on the wrong one, I mean. Therefore, you may have a sofik. There are many people, including myself, which put on both hands, because there are many sfeikas. You write with one, you do everything with your left. With your right, you write with your left. There are many shayas, if you've got to get ambidextrous. So people grow up their whole lives, they never realize that they may be putting tefillin on the wrong arm. And there are many places who hold people on both arms because you have a bit of a sofik.
So which one do you make a bottle of, and which one do you put on first?
What, tefillin? Yeah. It depends. Tefillin depends on the exact materials, what he writes with, what he does most things with, what he can do both with. Therefore, every time it comes to tefillin, you must go to someone who is... Oh, the ones who put on two is, again, it depends. If you write, we say tie on writing. Why? It says, Ukhsaftem, Ukhsharatem. You tie on the hand, which is dependent on writing. But that's not always the case. So, if the people who are lefty would put it on their right hand, and then if you have a bit of a sophic, and many things are geared, scissors, drums, a lot of things are geared for right hand people. You can't do it if you're lefty. So, a lot of people are lefties, train themselves to do it like a righty. So, you have many speakers here. Some people are left-handed and the strong hand is the right hand. Some people are right-handed, the strong hand is the left hand. These things are all toiler on these facts, and therefore we must always check up exactly what's going on, because there are many people who want to fill in their whole life, and it could be they will never get to the mitzvah. You must find out exactly. And like we said, because there's many machlokes in here, people will put on both. So you hold in the right hand, you meant to have a fruit as a sholem, by an orange or a tangerine. These things, every segment is a separate sholem. You don't have to hold the entire fruit, but you meant to hold it. You meant to hold the fruit as a sholem, you're not meant to slice it up. If it is sliced up, it's also okay. If you meant to be'ikah, try and make a bracha on a sholem, as we know by all brachas. For sure you can't do any mshas bracha. There's no slicing and chopping during making a bracha. You hold the fruit in your hand, you're standing there still, not doing anything else. Tefillin is also a big problem. You people are making the bracha, but you're getting it in position. Brachas, you can't do anything while you're making a bracha. Same as kaddish, kedusha, all these things. While you're doing a bracha or a davash or kedusha, you can't do anything. So you have your fruit, you can't do it slightly, it's a sholem, your right hand, make a bracha, slice it through, and enjoy it. But you can't do anything while you're making a bracha. There are many, many things which are sophic, hadam, or eight, many things. People don't realize how many they are. Papaya, banana, strawberry, raspberry, blueberry, blackberry, come on, any berry. So strawberries, what people don't realize, strawberries also sophic, quantitasis. There are many sphakas, papaya is the biggest sophic. If you all have these in Dubashat, that's great. But make hadoma, make aids, and then you're okay with eating these other things. Shahakal, chocolate, right, also comes, no problem with that, everyone will be very happy. You have your chocolate as well. But there are many things which are sophic, exactly what bracha they are. Just to end off, run out of time, the Maharam says that we know when you eat bread together, you have three men sitting together, eating bread, is a chiv zimun. Sit down, Rabbi Sayyid Avarech. Says the Mogen Avraham, shiv zaminim is as choshev as bread. Says the Mogen Avraham, be'etim you should say zimun on fruit. I mean, three men sit together, Rabbi Sayyid Avarech, and you all eat. Now, Mogen Avraham says that we can't do it because he's not exactly thrilled with it. He has a cheshbon, his wife may not be as but he lives as a sophic. Says the Mishabra, he lives as a sophic, you shouldn't sit down to eat shiv zaminim, three men together. Comes to Bishra, and everyone's having their prayer stage, and you find these people with loads of men together. Sitting around having shows of meaning, so you should not be doing that. Says Mishabur, you've got a sophic here of a chiv zimun. Therefore, you should avoid it, and if either don't have shows of meaning, or a shows of meaning, and start and finish different to everyone else, and then you will avoid the shayla. But sit down, three men together, you have a sophic zimun, and you have a sophic zimun, we don't do zimun, so you've got a sophic, and you'll be a bit stuck.
You go to a kiddush, Shabbos, every Zoinus is from the shows of meaning. So one has to sit here one day,
Yeah, and Achrami, you may have a problem with the cake as well. But, yeah, you may have a problem with the cake, that's a good hour. I'm not sure about that. Okay.